You are listening to episode 82 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. The next wearable tech, the Thunderbelt. So also in movie news was Netflix had an announcement this week where apparently Microsoft has decided that they're going to kill off Silverlight in like 10 years or some ridiculously, you know how long it takes them to kill something. But Netflix isn't waiting around because if you've ever used Netflix, which I fully expect everyone who listens to this to have used it, they use Silverlight in the browser to control it. And so as a result, they're moving away from it. And so what they've been doing is they've been working with the W3C dudes who, you know, sit around a room and pontificate to try to come up with an HTML5 video alternative. And so it sounds like they've actually figured that out. And what they have created are like three different components to it, which I thought was funny. Like, one of them is actually the ability for them to play high quality video, where they're like, it allows us to use JavaScript to detect your speed and detect how the movie's doing. And so we can do their whole like dynamic, make the movie look good or make it look horrible thing, you know, which you've seen, like, right. Normally the movies, they start off kind of fuzzy and you're like, are my glasses broken? And then, you know, and then they get clear as more of it loads. So they said they figured out a way how to do that using HTML, which is nice. And then what they've also figured out are like two other ones, which are all for DRM type stuff. So the first one is to, like I said, to be able to lock it down somehow magically, so you and I can't get to the file. They encrypt it somehow. It's magic, as far as I know.
Cryptography.
But they've done. Yeah, and then that's the second one, which is really more for like, they were saying that it allows them to encrypt and decrypt communication between Netflix and their servers. So it allows them to protect the user data, essentially. So like one of them is for the video data and then for you and I. They're protecting us. It's so nice of them.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, exactly. So and they've been like they've actually been beta testing it kind of already in the Google Chromebooks, since those are only browsers and they don't accept whatever that thing's called, Silverlight. And so they're like, yeah, we've been using it, we've been playing around with it, and they've got the specs and stuff. And so the future of video, HTML5, it's coming.
I think that'll be good though, because then it'll be easier to port. It'll probably be good engineering-wise for Netflix, so they can be in multiple applications without having to figure out how to transcode their videos into various formats and all this. This is probably actually a good thing for Netflix's engineering group, so they don't have to figure out how to develop it on Android versus iOS versus Windows versus Linux versus, you know, whatever. They can just do it in HTML5 and it'd be highly portable.
Yeah, so. I don't remember. There was some stat I read a really long time ago, like how many times they had the transcode things, and I mean, it was like ridiculous, like 50 times. You're just like, yeah. What? Yeah, for all the different devices and stuff. So yeah, I agree with you. That'll free up a lot of their bandwidth, which would be nice.
Then they can work
on more of that premium content,
or work on their user interface on their instant watch queue. I'm still surprised that you can't do anything to edit your queue very smartly. It's just put it in there, first in, first out. That's all we can do for you. Sorry. No sorting.
You can change the numbers manually.
No folders.
Or send the top.
Ugh. So maybe if they can crack this engineering puzzle, they can get into some basics of user design and interaction.
So how big is your queue?
Oh, it's probably like 300-ish.
Oh my gosh. Really?
That's why I'm probably complaining more than most. Here, I'll pull it
up.
Wow. My instant queue is 159, actually, so it's not that bad.
Oh, okay. Well,
so it's
sure.
A very manageable 159.
Yeah, totally. That would be an interesting statistic to know, like how big, you know, what's the average queue size and then what's the distribution of that. That would be fascinating to see.
I think a lot of people use the queue that just to bookmark things. That's what I do. I don't really, it's not like the ones that I'm going to watch, but it's like, oh, that looks interesting. And if I'm in the mood to watch it, I'd watch it kind of thing. So I have a bunch of like TV shows and stuff that, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just go episode one through the end and then be done and delete it kind of thing. It's just on there. So
yeah, because you do most of the digital streaming, right? Do you still get the physical DVDs?
Nope, all digital. So
yeah, then I guess it really doesn't matter per se.
Except for yeah, there's gonna be a way to find stuff. I would like it to be sorted better. I mean, you could sort by genre. You could sort by alphabetical. You could sort by year, you know, whatever. You could like reorder your queue folders. No, what shocker? Two TV
or
shows.
Or you just do something where like you can give some sort of rating system, not like the movie rating, but I'm really interested in watching this, or this is
the priority order or something like that.
Yeah, or like be able to say like, I don't know. I would like be able to add like tags to it, right? Oh, this is a great kids stuff. So when the kids are watching, they can filter out all of your guys' movies because they don't care.
I've always thought it'd be cool if you could on Netflix like build a channel. Like I want to watch The Wonder Years. I want to watch Frasier. And I want to watch a Star Trek movie, and then I want to watch, a 30 for 30. And then just put it, like, just start my channel, and so it'd play, like, random, or, like, sequential but random episodes of stuff. So it's like, okay, watch three episodes of this, then I'm flipping over to that, and then I watched another two episodes of this, and I'm flipping over to that, like a cable TV show, you know, like... We have a 3-hour block of Frasier and then moving into the Star Trek movie and then moving over to this show. I think that'd
finish
be kind of cool.
Finish off the night with a romantic comedy. Yeah.
Just a delicious romantic comedy. So,
yeah.
I think that'd be kind of cool. Because there's a bunch of like TV shows that I like on there, but I don't want to just necessarily watch all of them back to back. So it'd be kind of cool if I could just kind of like a playlist instead of a folder. Oh, imagine that. Weird.
Oh, interesting idea.
Shuffle playlist. Shocker.
It's a good idea. You hear that, Netflix?
Yeah, free advice. Yeah. Man, we're businesses. Free advice. This is turning into a consulting podcast.
This is normal for us, man. We are a high-value show. You'll come away with at least $1 billion idea.
At least one.
Maybe.
If not a couple.
Yeah, exactly.
We guarantee. Guarantee one.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, you know, it is a free podcast, so we gotta...
Well, we're not telling you how to do it. We're just, you know, helping you out kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I saw your article about the... Windows 8, I thought that was interesting since Windows 8 was all about kind of Cortez burn the ships, no more start button, no more desktop. We're just going to do this Windows 8 thing. And with their with Windows Blue, they're like, well, maybe we'll make it so you could boot to the desktop and put a start button back on there.
Well, and from what I understand, the start button's actually there, right? If you like go down in the corner and right click, it pops up just like normal.
Yeah, but it brings you back to the tiles.
Oh, okay.
It's not a Windows Explorer view, whatever
pop up thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw some. I saw some tweet recently that was like, what's the most popular Windows 8 tile? And there was about 50 comments back that said the desktop. Like, what's your favorite Windows 8 app tile? Desktop, 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 desktop. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, classic.
I think that's, though, back to kind of what we were talking about, the leap motion. I think Windows 8 is interesting, but it's, you have to design the software and the user interaction for that, and everything is still in the old paradigm, which is somewhat affecting, you know, for example, iOS. Like, everybody's clamoring for Apple to change iOS significantly, but it's going to be super hard for them to do that, because anything they change, they're going to change the whole software ecosystem to ask for something new and different, and it's going to... And actually, that's, I think, part of the problem that Apple's facing, that Windows faced back in the day and still faces, right? Like, we made Windows software, it behaves and acts a certain way. People come to expect it. Software development comes to expect it that way, and then you change it, and nobody likes it. And then, you know, akin to iOS, everybody thinks that they're old and stale compared to Android, and Android's out innovating them, but that's because they have way more applications and way more kind of baggage to deal with. And if they change iOS in a fundamental crazy way, then all these apps get jacked up and developers get pissed, and so it's kind of interesting.
And it's not fun. You know, and now they have an example that they can point at, right, where Microsoft said, oh yeah, we will do that. And it's not working out for them at all.
Yeah. But I think the other thing on Windows 8, I think Windows 8 tablets and convertibles are pretty interesting. But again, it's changing the hardware and the software. Those have to change harmoniously and work harmoniously. And so, like, Windows 8 and the operating system and the, like, Surface RT are very cool. But then at the end of the day, you still got to use Windows, you know, kind of like you're still, they didn't make the full leap, right? Like, it's almost, Windows 8 might have been more successful if they just said, hey, we have this new operating system from Microsoft, and it's the tablet, and it's called, you know, Doors instead of Windows, or, you know, like, it's something totally different, and it's
different software.
Curtains, yeah. It's window, vinyl clings, window, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Roman shades, blinds.
Doors. That'd be funny.
But that's what they needed, man, because then otherwise, then you're like, I made Photoshop for Doors, and I made Office for Doors, and, you know, whatever, and it works via finger input, not via mouse and keyboard.
So what you're saying is they should have instead of taking their standard desktop operating system, they should have created a separate operating system that you know, complements it, really.
Yeah.
Basically following the Apple model, essentially.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but I think Apple's got the same problem that Windows had back, you know, 10 years ago that or 5, 10 years ago, where they were like, okay, maybe we should make Windows 8 because people feel like they're not being innovative, and Apple's getting the same complaint levied against them on iOS, and they're not. It's going to be super hard to change iOS to be anything. The problem with software development and specifically operating systems on that is once you get a groundswell of usage and ecosystem, you have to be evolutionary instead of revolutionary. You can't.
Right.
You can't just be like, "Bam! Here's the new awesome." Because if you change everything, then people freak out.
Yeah, or you can do like Google, where they have been making a lot of big changes, and like they've got like less. I think they just crossed the 10% mark for their latest operating system in terms of user adoption, and. You know, and so you run into that kind of problem where, people aren't going to upgrade and they're not going to change, and they're not going to you know, obviously Apple could because they do the hardware software piece, but you know, they run into this problem where it's like Samsung and HTC and other companies are like, no, we're not going to update our current phones to run this new one. We're just not going to make it happen. And furthermore, we've been developing this other phone for 3 years, so we're not going to update it for the latest operating system either. Right. You know, so you run into this weird situation where, like, yeah, 5 years from now, Jelly Bean will be awesome because it'll be all over the place. Right. You know, so it's kind of, yeah, that's a tough one where, yeah, Apple gets to boast of super high user adoption and they get everybody on the same page, but is that page as cool as it could be? It's like, right. Probably not.
Right.
Which is a bummer.
Totally.
But yeah, I say bring back the start button. You know, I love that
thing. I do too. I burnt the ship and installed Windows 8 on our home machine, and it's all right.
It's okay. Do you think if you had like the Leap, so you could do more touch type of inputs, that it would be better?
No. Oh. I think Windows 8's not made for the desktop, and it's not made for a workstation. It's made for, it's like an iPad, right? It's made for, it's actually made, it's like an iPad that somebody needs to use Office every now and again. You know, it's right. Like, I want to browse and look at the internet, but every now and again, I want to hook up a keyboard to this thing and actually do some work. And I'm not doing enough hardcore work to require like a workstation where I need a dedicated big screen, mouse, and desktop, but I'm maybe doing my house like finances, or I need to type a letter to somebody, or I need to type, you know, this kind of thing. It's not like the professional, like I'm running SPSS statistical modeling software, or I'm running Final Cut Pro and I'm actually editing a movie together or doing Photoshop or Illustrator or that sort of thing.
So that's interesting because I actually was talking to a friend last night and he just did this. So I haven't gotten the part yet where this is actually work, but he said that he had just bought a Surface Pro. And the way that he uses it is actually like the exact opposite of what you just said, where he has the three monitors set up with a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. And he goes, and all he does is he takes the Surface Pro and just plugs in the USB, which then powers, you know, sends it to the monitors and then the power for the Surface Pro. And he goes, and he sits back and he does his heavy duty lifting, the big time work type stuff. And then he loves it because when it's time to go, you just unplug the two plugs, pick it up, put it in your bag, your MRSA. And then he heads off to his meetings. And I know he does more like, he's a project manager type thing. So I think he does do a lot of running around and, you know, meeting with people and checking in to see how they're doing.
And, but notice he was doing the real work on the big keyboard with the Bluetooth.
Yes.
The big monitors and the Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. He wasn't.
Right.
So, like, I actually think, and it hasn't come to fruition, but I was super excited about the idea of the Thunderbolt connection that. Thunderbolt? Lightning?
Oh, I know.
Lightning or Thunderbolt? I'm confused now. Is it Thunderbolt?
It's Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt.
But there was the idea of Thunderbolt can be much more powerful than just a monitor, which is mostly what Apple's using it for. They have a couple like external drives, but back when that technology first came out, people were talking about that you could basically have a like MacBook Air type laptop that docks in via Thunderbolt connection to basically a then like iMac or MacBook Pro configuration, because you could have a dedicated video card and more RAM and a bigger hard drive, and like basically like a, you know, like way back in the day, you could have like the 8086 processor with the math coprocessor doing all this other stuff. So, yeah. Like, this idea would be, like, I have a basic computer that does basic functions, but then when I connect it up with the Thunderbelt! When I belt up to the Thunder, when I connect up the Thunderbolt connection, I can't even talk now, that you would augment that computer to be, like, more awesome. And that really hasn't came out yet, but I think that could be... That's really exciting to me. Of like, I have a laptop that basically gets the job done, you know, mm-hmm. on a on the go type of thing. But then when I need to do some heavy lifting, I can dock into this thing and kind of put my computer into turbo mode, bigger, beefier graphics card, better RAM, more hard drive space, maybe yeah. even faster CPU or augmenting the CPU. That could be cool.